Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
Elizabeth Stanley, and I am playing Louisa.
In Nine, the hit musical that's coming to the Kennedy Center, running August 2nd through the 11th. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so before we get to the actual show, we have to remind everybody that it really traces all back to the 1963 Italian film masterpiece by the great Federico Fellini, 8½, which I believe was like the number of where he was in his filmography, I believe. It was like between his 8th and 9th, I think. But it was a classic. I'm a huge movie buff, La Dolce Vita and all Night of Cabiria and La Strada, all the great stuff that led up to this. But a lot of film cinephiles say 8½ was a masterpiece. So when did you watch the movie version or was it the Broadway one that you first saw?
The movie version is the first one that I saw. And I'm terrible at watching movies. I'm a weirdo that way. And so I'd never seen it until I got cast in this. And
it's a wild movie. It's not, by the way, folks, it's not the most accessible. It is like, it is an avant-garde, like it is brilliant, but it's out there.
I have to tell you, I started watching it like on a international flight. Like I was like, oh, this would be a good way to like fill this time. And I was like, I have to watch this another time when I can like really focus on it.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, it's really something to study and like dig into because it's really fascinating.
It's not escapist popcorn entertainment to watch on a plane at all.
Correct.
It is definitely like challenges you and it's I mean it's easy to it's easy to be blown away by the inventive cinematic language and all, you know what I mean. You can tell that there's wizardry going on, but it is definitely something you want to watch when you're trying to break down the craft of like an artfully made movie. It is basically the epitome of that kind of movie. Just to prepare folks, if you're gonna check it out before you go to the Kennedy Center.
Yes.
But remind us. All right. So that's the film version. Then remind us what about 2 decades later it was adapted for Broadway and won Best Musical, the Tony in 82, right?
Yes, Maury Yeston set it to this incredible score, which I think does make it so much more accessible. And then it's been done one other time, I guess, revived in addition to that. When was that? Like the early 2000s?
Yeah, I think it won the Tony again for best revival of a musical in 2003. So yeah, big Tony wins in the early 80s and early 2000s. And I think that version is what inspired the 2009 movie musical with Daniel Day-Lewis and all the rest. It was a big cast for that one. Had you seen that one while we're on the subject? Had you seen at least that version of Nine or not?
No, I'd never seen that either. Which I think is good. I like coming to pieces really fresh because it's impossible not to be influenced by like great performances before you when you've seen them. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes that's really useful. And I certainly listened to the cast recording, but I'm actually grateful to have not seen it because then I think Andy's approach to this is also really new and fresh. And he really has studied like all of the iterations that came before. But I think what he is kind of guiding all of us through is something that's really kind of new.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sometimes it probably is better to go into a role fresh, and then you can always double back, like after your stage run is over. If you know, just out of curiosity to check it out. But sometimes it's best just to craft the character on your own with you and the current director. I think you're right. All right. Well, without further ado, in all of these versions, especially the version of Nine that's going to be at Kennedy Center, remind us sort of the premise, if you will, the storyline, who this main character filmmaker is, and where your role fits in, all that kind of stuff.
So it's this guy Guido who is sort of approaching midlife, and he's this brilliant filmmaker, and he can't come up with his next script. And in recent years, he's kind of not been doing great. His most recent films have not been awesome. And so I think he's going through this emotional creative struggle of, do I not have it anymore? Have I lost it? Am I kind of done with? And he's a little bit of a mess in his personal life because he's just sort of creative. Emotionally stunted. And so I play his wife, but he has, a mistress, and then he has a muse. And then there are these other women in his life that's where the nine that actually no, I'm not speaking right. That's not where the nine comes from.
Well, it might be. I don't know. It might be a double meaning. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, that's true. But so, you know, there's also like women from his past and his mother. And so it's really like the way Andy is approaching it is it's really about how the women in this man's life are really who is forming him and shaping him and helping him to kind of grow. And yeah, so he's really going through this assessment of what is my life and what have I done with it and how do I move forward?
Exactly. It's sort of the, it's one of the ultimate examples of like, I mean, this character clearly is like a, was a proxy for Fellini. You know, he's working out his own stuff. You know what I mean? Similar to like a Fosse would do in like the movie All That Jazz, or, you know, I mean, I guess you could even say like, what's a more modern example? Maybe like a Birdman or something. You know what I mean? Like these movies about artists struggling with their own creative writer's block, director's block, and also their personal lives, all that stuff. So you mentioned that Andy sort of visualizes all this in a cool way, directing and choreographing it. We're talking about Andy Blankenbuehler, folks, Hamilton and the rest. But yeah, like, how is it visually? You know, there's all these past and present, you know, people from his life popping up in his sort of imagination and reality, and it's kind of crossing, you know, what's real and what's not, and memories and all that, like in an avant-garde way, I guess. Yeah, like, how is it visually? How is that visually portrayed, shown on stage?
Oh, well, I think that's what he's done so brilliantly is it's pretty minimal. Like the set is black and white and there aren't a ton of props. There isn't a ton of scenery, but he uses the bodies that are on the stage to really like create all these new spaces and all of this kind of mental visualizations. Like there's an incredible ensemble of artists who are extraordinary dancers. And so they're doing a lot of storytelling through their movement. And then also the lighting, I think it seems, I mean, we're teching it right now, so I can't say what it's going to look like when it's done, but I have seen some of the renderings and it's also that does a lot of the storytelling of like, you know, someone's in the stark spotlight and you can tell like, oh, that's a phone call that's happening or they're far away. So I think it visually will be really satisfying to people who are fans of the film because it sort of stays in that world of like very artistic black and white and doing what I think theater does best, which is use theatricality, use creativity, engage your imagination to make you understand and be a part of the piece, which is I think also sort of hearkening back to the film, which was really like we were saying earlier, like you have to kind of really lean in and engage to fully appreciate that film.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Andy does it justice. I think the first Broadway version of Nine, the 1982 one that won the Best Musical, I think it was directed by Tommy Tune way back when. So there's a great rich history of the people that are from Fellini to Tune to Blankenbuehler to all the people that are putting, you know, orchestrating this thing. Well, you sort of went into the cool, you know, the very outside the box visuals, if you will. But we have to talk about the music. After all, it is a musical, and that's what separates it from the movie a lot in a lot of ways. So, yeah, what let's di give me some of the highlights of the musical numbers. What are some of the songs that you know, night in, night out? I mean, I know you're still rehearsing it, but you'll find out for sure when this thing launches tomorrow. But for you, at least in rehearsals, what are some of the standout numbers for you?
Oh, I mean, A Call from the Vatican is sort of iconic and Unusual Way is also, I think, just so stunning. And it sounds so beautiful. Shireen Ahmed is singing it, and the orchestra here is also just fabulous. And Leslie Margarita is doing Be Italian, which I also think is sort of amazing. those are the top three for me. I'm singing My Husband Makes Movies, which is also a really kind of fabulous, interesting tune. Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's an extraordinary group of people, especially, you know, it's, I mean, Steve Pasquale, who's playing Guido, is amazing, but it is a cast mostly full of women. So I'm really spending so much time admiring all of them. So I would, you got to come to hear them.
Awesome. And the songs you're talking about, they're written, the music and the lyrics, by Mari Yestin, I believe is his
Yes, the great
name. I think
yesterday.
they won him Tonys back when Nine first came on stage. And I think did, what, Titanic and Grand Hotel. I think, you know, the list goes on and on of great works that they've done, that Mari's done. But awesome, awesome. Well, before I think I have more than enough to work with, but tell us a little bit of, let's remind folks a little bit about you, because you yourself are a Tony nominee. You were nominated for Best Actress in a Musical for the Alanis Morissette show, Jagged Little Pill, on Broadway. How wonderful was that? That must have been crazy.
It was awesome. Alanis actually was very adamant that it not be a bio musical, so it was not about her. And Diablo Cody wrote this fabulous book that was, connected the songs of the album Jagged Little Pill, and then also had a few other kind of iconic Alanis tunes in there. So it was great. I mean, it was such a in the way that Diablo can do, and Alanis as well, it was a great acting role. Like, there was so much meat there. There was a lot of stuff going on for the character. So it was dramatic, but then it was also like quite funny. And then to get to sing those songs, and it was just pretty wonderful.
Man, Alanis Morissette and Diablo Cody, talk Jagged Little Pill and Juno. I mean, talk about like some of the soundtracks and films of our lifetime. That's incredible. You had to work with both of them. Did you actually get to meet either of them? I would assume you did somewhere along the way. I want to know some tidbits on, you know, what Alanis and Diablo are like, sort of behind the scenes, because they're legends of our time, if you ask me.
Definitely, I agree. Yes, I yeah, they were both around, and they're both like they are what you would dream they would be. Alanis, she the first time she came in, I remember she had like a huge fuzzy blue sweater on, and she just gave everyone hugs, and she was just so grateful to have other artists like interpreting her work. And she, I remember she said, "It's so wonderful to receive these songs instead of giving them. I'm always the giver of them." And I thought that was such a generous thing to say.
Good way to put it, yeah.
And she was just, I mean, she's so eloquent and intelligent, as you would imagine, and just kind of radiant, really down to earth. And Diablo too is like, she's sort of shy. I don't know. And I don't know if shy is the right word, but she's kind of like reserved, but then like secretly really hilarious and dry. And also, like, both of them are very cool in that just whatever they were wearing, I always was like, I want to be wearing that. You look amazing.
What
Yeah,
was
they're
the
great.
coolest Jagged Little Pill song to sing in that show? Because I still remember buying that CD for I have a twin brother, and I gave it to him for Christmas. And I remember he opened it and be like, "Wait, what? What is it?" You know, two young guys. And he was like, "What is this album?" I was like, "Trust me, listen to this." And it was in to me. Tell me if I'm overrating it, but I really believe it's like our '90s version of like a Carole King Tapestry. Like, it's an album that will go down in history. But what was your what is your some of your favorites actually when you got to sing them on stage?
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, it seems like you're in the majority of thinking that. Like, as I worked on it, so many people, like, and it spans quite a big age range of people that it really like resonated with, like people that were in junior high to people who were like in their early 20s at the time, like, which is a pretty big swath of people who like know every word on that album.
Even the deep cuts, like, you know what I mean? Like some of the opening, like even that opening track, you know, even the ones that didn't make it on the radio are just burned in our memories.
I mean, for me, actually, the songs I sang, I actually wrote a new song that I got to sing, and then I also did Uninvited, which was not on that album. But so for me personally, singing those was like, oh, awesome. But I mean, getting to hear and like listen to my castmates did like Hand in My Pocket and You Ought to Know, it's just like kind of blows the roof off. It was amazing.
Absolutely. And then, you know, sort of just in closing, what was it like to, you know, get to go, you know, the whole Tony experience? You got to go, I guess it was during, was it during COVID? So it must have been an interesting or unique sort of version of getting the whole Tony experience. But what was it like?
I mean, yes, it was wild because it was the Tonys, and I had just had a baby 2 weeks before, so it was really
Oh, congrats.
like nutso for me personally. But it was awesome. I mean, it's just like it's such a special night of celebrating live theater and so many friends that I've made over the years. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was really magical, and I was so celebrated by so many friends and family in my life, you know, contacting me that day. And just, yeah, it feels sort of like a wedding day, you know what I mean? Where everyone is like, just happy for you.
Right, exactly. And sorry you didn't emerge victorious, but we in the DC, Virginia area were rooting for Adrienne Warren, Tina Turner, because I believe she's from Virginia. So she has some local ties. So little did we know. We didn't know we didn't know we were rooting against you, but but they're all deserving performers.
That's right. Awards for the arts are always like kind of, you know, also wonderful, but also kind of funny at the same time, because it's really hard to compare.
Yes, as 8.5 and 9 more than anything prove, it is a very art is art and not really meant to be ranked or graded. It's more you know, to grapple with and to try to illuminate, you know.
Yes, exactly.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else you want to add? I guess sort of in the final seconds, just pretend I'm not here and talk directly to our listeners. You know, say, hey, DC, come on out to the Kennedy Center for 9.
Oh, yeah. Hey, DC, come out to the Kennedy Center for 9. I think you're really in for a special treat. And I will just say, as a small tidbit, in case it's interesting for you, I've only played the Kennedy Center one other time, and I was also playing an Italian, also speaking with an Italian accent and wearing a brunette wig, which
what was
was
the show?
The Tour of the Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I think we might have even covered. Yeah, we covered that. That's awesome. That's
so
awesome.
We'll see what I come here next in, but
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Is this like a national tour, or is this just like a one-off at the Kennedy Center?
No, this is just special for the Kennedy Center. They have this new series produced by Jeffrey Finn that's called Broadway Center Stage, where they do, I can't remember if it's just one every summer, or if it's, no, it's not just one, but it's a few every summer, where they put together this kind of extraordinary group of people really quickly, throw together a show. But we've worked really, really hard to do it so quickly. And, you know, the Kennedy Center, as you know, is such a special place to be. It's such an honor to get to be on the stages here. So I think everyone kind of says yes, because it's just pretty awesome.
Awesome. Well, that's even more reason to come see it, folks. It's not like you can catch it in another town on a tour or anything. This is like a one and only time to see it with this particular cast and this exact staging here as the Kennedy Center's Broadway Center Stage Series. It's 9, the musical, running August 2nd through August 11th. So everybody get your tickets. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. This was fun.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Be well. See ya.
Okay. Bye.